for October. Happy birthday, Allison.
Yeah, birthday girl.
That's right, birthday.
That's exciting.
Hello and welcome to Sip with Nikki. I am your host, Nikki Lamberti, coming to you from Wine Country, California. And if you are new to Sip with Nikki, we are so happy to have you here. So as of the time of this recording in mid-October 2024, we have listeners in 36 countries. So the majority are in the US, but many of you are listening in Germany, Japan, Finland, Austria, Sweden, just to name a few. And I just wanted to say hello from California and thank you so much for listening. Love to see our community of sippers spanning countries and continents. It's so awesome, right? That's what wine does. It brings people together. Speaking of, hopefully you've had a chance to listen to last week's episode where I spoke with Karen McNeil and Hobie Wedler about this Come Over October initiative that has kicked off this month. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I recommend that you go back. It's really fantastic and will help you to understand what this campaign of Come Over October is all about. It's about putting down the phone, turning off the TV, slowing down, inviting one or many friends over to open some wine and just enjoy each other's company. So we're so grateful to our friends Dana and Tack, who opened up their home to all of us last night. There were a handful of us that gathered here in Sonoma County. And I, first of all, made sure everyone was okay with it, but I said, gosh, wouldn't it be cool to let our audience listen in to what does a Saturday night sound like when you've got multiple winemakers, people that work in different areas of the wine industry, their spouses, all of whom would label themselves foodies, and many are also phenomenal cooks. What are they drinking on a Saturday night? What are they eating? What are they pairing? And what does the conversation sound like? So I brought some microphones with me and have pieced together just a short representation of our evening. So you'll hear our different recipes and the meals that we've prepared and very special opportunity where our friends Sally and Max, who are getting ready to launch their new wine brand, they were sharing their barrel samples with us and asking us for our feedback. Just a really cool experience. My hope is that while you're listening, you will feel like you're in the kitchen at the dinner table with us. And I will share in the show notes the really fun and interesting lineup of wines you would expect from a group of people in the industry. We had everything from a very high-end classic champagne to a very trendy new wine brand with a tasting room in downtown Napa. And spoiler alert, I brought a widely distributed wine that you may have seen on a store shelf near you, and it may or may not have been infused with pumpkin spice. Could not wait to get my friends' opinions on it. And man, did they have some opinions. So here we go with a typical Saturday night in wine country.
Thanks for having us in your home today.
I'm so happy you're here.
Can you tell us what's on the menu for this fantastic impromptu come over October / birthday celebration dinner in your home? What's on the menu?
The menu is my grandmother's famous angel biscuits, which is really funny, sort of converts those who don't love biscuits because they're yeasty and heavy. And
Who doesn't love biscuits? They have to be convinced to like a biscuit.
Especially because they think Southern biscuits, which are very flaky or can be very floury and sort of, and these are very moist and heavy.
Mm.
And they're angel biscuits because you fold them over from a little circle and make little angel's wings.
And this is Grandma's recipe.
Her name is Wilda.
Where did she live?
Kentucky.
These are Kentucky biscuits.
Yes. Yeah. It is funny. I, as you know, don't love to be in the kitchen all the time. I love to be in the dining room plenty, mm-hmm. but the kitchen not so much. It's not my forte. Oh my God,
well, this, your kitchen is so amazing. Well, I would live in this kitchen.
But somewhere early in our marriage, Tack had had these enough times that he was like, we got to figure out how to make these. And I was like, I know how to make them. And they're always slightly different. And then I find out, no, they're not slightly different. It depends on how much care you put in. If you do it exactly the same way each time, then they're exactly the same each time. So he's
the human element is different. Yeah. I'm so excited to have Grandma's biscuits, and thank you for having us over.
Absolutely.
Allison, what did you bring?
I brought Laurent Perrier. Like actual champagne.
From Champagne. You fancy.
I love that. It's my birthday. It is your birthday. Happy birthday. Of course.
What's that gorgeous plate down there that you also brought?
So I wanted to make something that was like super flavorful, but also kind of healthy and on the lighter side, just because I know we have so many yummy rich things that we're going to be celebrating with. So
did you say healthy? Did you bring healthy food to
our
gathering?
Of course. Well, a lot of them. Look at what Dana's making. All that cabbage salad looks amazing.
Oh, so the 97 pounds of cheese cured meats that I put on this board is needed to be balanced out by your vegetables.
Yeah, and so fish. We have a little, and you have olives, and you have.
Woo! Happy birthday!
Yes. There's a lot of healthy things there too, but I was trying to think of cornichons. That's healthy.
That's like a pickle of sorts.
Superfood.
Uh-huh. It's totally superfood.
Okay, tell me about the shrimp.
So it's super easy and very flavorful. It's just a marinade. I got them all cooked and taken care of so that I didn't have to do anything. Because I'm also thinking like quick.
Easy.
Quick. So the marinade is olive oil, lime juice, rice wine vinegar, a jalapeno, some red pepper, garlic, green onion. And you basically just make this marinade and then you let them soak for a couple hours and it's done. And it's, I just thought that would be like a fun,
so they're cooked.
Boiled or however you want to prepare your shrimp.
Here, let's eat this. It's your birthday champagne pouring in the glass.
I was also thinking of this pairing too, like what would I want with Bubbles, that really interesting flavors.
Well, Bubbles are so versatile, right? It's almost like a clean slate with just acidic.
I wanted them spicier, so I would do them spicier next time.
But there's a little, little jalapeno pick in the back.
Serrano.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. It seems like a very quick recipe too.
Well, that's it. Like you could have that football, something different. I was going to do a peanut sauce, but then I was like, we're going to have...
That'd be richer though.
This is really clean and bright.
That's for you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. Look at this pork tenderloin that just came in off the grill. Chef Tacoma. I'm using your full name you're fancy. Tell me about this gorgeous pork tenderloin.
We've been having this for many, many years. So I think you heard about Dana and her grandmother's biscuits.
Yes.
We always have this pork tenderloin with it. It just goes really well. You can eat it in the biscuit or just have it before. But the short story is...
Oh, like a little sandwich.
Thin. But the very first time I ever had this pork or the biscuits is when I started dating Dana and she invited me to meet her parents. And the first dinner we ever had together was the biscuits, Jones Pork Tenderloin.
And what year was that?
That was 1996.
Oh my goodness, almost 30 years ago.
Yes.
And is this the same grandma's recipe?
I don't know, it came from her mom.
Okay.
Right, Dana's mom. So the recipe came from her mom. Where they got the recipe, I don't know. It's a soy sauce with sesame and ginger and onion.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
And they've been marinating in it for 2 days.
2 days marinating, and then on the grill.
Yeah, and then just cook them until they're, everybody likes their pork different.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't like it a little rare. I don't mind it a little rare.
I do. I like a little
rare, I always strive to just have it done.
Just like the spices and the crisp and a little bit of char on the ends of the loins. Is making my mouth water, and so now it's resting.
Yes.
And so in your opinion, of all the wines that we already have open at this little gathering, we've got champagne, we've got Vermentino, we've got a Cabernet Franc from Ashes and Diamonds and Napa Valley, plus you know all the wine that you have in your fridge. What do you think
is a good pairing with this.
Something of a, I'd call a medium body red.
Uh-huh.
It's like a Merlot or maybe, you know, maybe the Cab Franc, that might be a little heavier.
Maybe
a
Solovato,
a Sangiovese would be perfect with this.
We're going to try that for sure.
Yes. So, because, yeah, I don't want it too heavy.
Yeah.
I think a more medium-bodied wine goes great with the pork.
Cool. We'll try it and we'll see how it goes. Thanks, Chef.
Are you opening that?
Yeah.
So this, Michael and Nikki's brewing. So I'm excited because I tried your wine at your house, maybe in your inaugural vintage, I think.
2019.
So I tried the 2019, and I am a Sangiovese nut, and there's not a lot of them on the market from this
That's
area.
That's why we
I know.
Make it, because it's different.
And I like that. And I like the package. Now let me get into this. Ah, yes.
She's waking up. Yeah, she was a little cold.
Yeah, no.
Out of the wine fridge.
Really nice. I love that. Wow. And so you have a vertical now, like a kind of a good long. You have
19, 20, 21, and we brought a 22 today, which we won't release it till next year, but yeah.
So when you go and taste them together,
yeah,
what's that like? Are you finding that the vintage tells a story?
Yes.
Cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, cool. That's what I really love about 100% grape varietal
well,
in a bottle year after year.
Also because it's so tiny, and I'm doing so little to it, and it's the same vineyard every year, and I'm doing the same yeast, same, right?
Yeah.
I'm not doing blending or anything, so it literally is the year in the fermentation bin.
And then I know, like, for Sally, she can talk about, like, what the weather was, when she picked, how heavy the clusters were.
Yeah.
And then that translates later, usually after it's been in bottle for, you know, at least a good year, at least 18 months or more. And then she can kind of start to line up what that season was like to what's in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
This is lovely.
It's interesting now to have some back vintages to be able to do that, because for the longest time we didn't, right? You had one wine from 1 year.
Yeah.
But now there is the ability to go back and have some comparison.
Well, I think it's cool too, because I'm looking forward to that with ours, where we're going to contract some of the same fruit year after year from the same blocks. And we've already talked about that, how that's a cool process. And is that what this is all from, the same vineyard?
Yes.
That's cool.
And hopefully that connection will not ever go away.
Well, it's hard to know. I mean,
it's going to be the one consistent anchor of the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And other years we may add and do different things.
Yeah, what would you
add?
But
hopefully we'll have this. I have in barrel for 23 Grenache and Petite Syrah.
Grenache.
Grenache from Dry Creek.
Grenache is going to be kind of the new Syrah for a while, in my opinion.
It's so food friendly. We just had some last night.
There's some
so good.
Nice Grenache coming out.
And inexpensive. Washington. Yeah.
Well, it's a big growing area for that. The Syrah, the Grenache, kind of complementary styles of farming, et cetera. I love it. You know, one of my favorite wines that Sally made at Pride was the Sangiovese. And it was like a treat, because it was kind of like they didn't make a lot.
Well, it was such a small production.
And it was a small bottle. There were so many things about it that made it treaty.
Yeah, treaty.
Right?
It was very treaty.
It was very treaty.
I like that.
And so beyond just your classic Thanksgiving wine, right? It, for me, it was like, that was a given, that you would have to have that on table for Thanksgiving.
Why do you think Sangiovese is a classic Thanksgiving wine?
I think it goes really well with turkey, chicken. I just think that there's something about the intensity and the acid that complements that pork as well. Tenderloin, for example.
Yeah, this is what Tack was excited to taste with the tenderloin.
Yes, I think that this
tenderloin
is the perfect grape for that style of meat. So, you know, I'm like, get some more of this because I don't want to only have it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So when I knew that you were making it, I was very excited, because even if you go to Bottle Barn, it's a very small...
It's like half of one shelf.
Yeah, and it's all imported. There's like maybe two or three producers. Yeah. And, you know, maybe you should get in there. Yeah. Oh.
Bottle Barn, did you hear that? Hey, yeah. Bottle Barn, did you
Bottle
hear
Barn,
that?
Call Bottle Barn.
Okay.
But anyway, I love it. This is really great, Nikki.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks.
Yeah. This is so good. Seriously.
You're just saying that because you're my friend.
No, honestly, Sally knows how much of a nut I am for Sangiovese. I just told the story about the fried Sangiovese and that I was.
You said it was very
like,
treaty.
Can
it
I
was
please
a treat.
Have more? Can I please have more?
It was
more?
Just a treat.
And yeah, it was very treaty. And then I was like, I don't want to just have this on Thanksgiving when your parents come. I actually want to suck this down.
Get some.
Hi, repeat visitor, guest on Sip with Nikki.
Am I your first repeat guest?
No, Karen McNeil.
Oh, well.
And Homie. Okay. You're almost done with harvest, Miss Sally.
I am. One more day of fruit receiving.
Cheers.
Cheers. What's left? I've just got some Cabernet and Petit Verdot last for Tambour Bay.
Yeah,
Bill. It's a little bit cooler there and the last of it.
I see three sample bottles of Stereograph on this kitchen island. What did you bring?
Well, Max and I are about to launch our first release of our partnership brand.
I don't know why when you said that, it made me get like a little bit emotional. I mean, I know this,
well,
but
you know how it is.
I do. And I've been hearing about this for a long time.
We're really excited. Max is doing all the design. And so we bought some things from nice vineyards. But my thing is, I'm really not like all about vineyard designates so much as I love blending. So all of my wines that we're looking at are blends of some of the different components that we put together. Oakville Cabernet. We have a Napa Valley red blend that is mostly Merlot with a little cab.
Yeah.
Probably have a little Cab Franc in there before it's all said and done.
Okay.
And then we have a Napa cab. So
yeah, we're pretty excited. So these are all 2023s. So will they all be bottled?
They'll be bottled
next year?
Yes.
Okay. So really release of Stereograph will be in 2025.
Yeah. Okay. It'll probably be September or possibly even 2026, depending on how quickly we get our act together with the packaging.
Oh, I know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
It's never quick.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. Even just seeing these sort of shiner labels on these bottles, you've made so many wines for so many different people over the years. How does it feel looking at that?
It feels pretty good. Honestly, it feels like, in a way, liberating, because when I'm making wine for someone else, I really want to make sure that I give them a wine that they love. That's also like something I, you know, think is really great, but I want to really be sensitive to what style of wine, you know, Pride makes or what style of wine Tambour Bay makes. And this is really the first time I've been able to just, you know, do what kind of wine Sally and Max like. So it's pretty cool.
And is it because it's what Sally and Max would like to drink?
It is.
Because that's what drives how I make our wine, is that's what we want to drink.
Yeah. And also I've spent 27 vintages making Cabernet. So I kind of feel like I want to continue to make great Cab. I think I hear people say Cab is boring. There's too much.
We're not friends with those people. We don't, we don't listen to those people.
I'm friends with those people because I want to share a great Cabernet with them and have them say like, oh my god, I was so wrong. I think they're,
you want to change their minds.
Yeah, I just love Napa Valley so much. I think that's what we do the best here. Merlot also have a really fun wine coming out along with these. We made a white this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Chenin Blanc, 77-year-old vine in Pope Valley. They were planted in my mom's birth year, and my friend is the grower. He's an awesome viticulturalist. We collaborate on a few different projects, and I just kind of like whittled away at him until he agreed.
That's what
to
we
sell
do.
Me a
we
ton.
Just we whittle away.
Yeah.
We plant a seed and then we drip on it. Right?
Yes, I took the Nikki approach and it worked.
Good.
Yeah, I'm kind of new to Chenin, but we knew we wanted a white. Well, Max wanted white,
mm-hmm.
and we knew we didn't want to do something super mainstream. We want this to be a more creative, like playful brand.
And now a word from our sponsor. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome.
And now, back to our show.
So, Chenin Blanc came along, and we actually fermented it in a ceramic globe, which is really cool.
I saw your Instagram pictures of this globe.
I know, it's so pretty.
What do you think the globe does differently than any other?
Well, it's sort of
tank or
in
barrel.
Between
concrete, egg.
Oak, concrete, ceramic, stainless. I would say it kind of goes that way. So oak, you get a lot of oxygen exchange. It's very textural. Concrete, there's a lot of mineral impact, and that's also very textural. Ceramic, because it's fired, it's very inert. So you're getting this very fresh, lively wine, but there's a little more oxygen exchange than stainless. And then stainless is just like pure, very fruity, very floral. So it's
unique. I like it's really a differentiator.
Yeah, and it tastes so good. It's just very, like, fresh. It's a good match, that wine.
Nice. No Chenin Blanc here today.
No. Okay.
All right, we'll have to wait for that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for weighing in. I thought that it would be fun just for people to hear, like, what do wine people, winemakers, wine business, wine industry, what do wine people talk about and drink on a Saturday night? And literally, even if we didn't have these microphones on, like, this is what we would be talking about, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is what we do, right?
We
talk about food and wine pairing and the project. So cheers to come over October.
Cheers to come over October.
We'll get you back for like a full episode again in the future. But thanks for the sneak peek.
No worries. But this is so great. I love this wine. It's delicious.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll pick up my allocation.
I promise I'll get it to you soon.
Thanks.
Here's a glass, Jay. What did you bring? Pride 2017 Merlot.
Oh, benevolent neglect. Fermentine.
Michael and I popped into that tasting room in downtown Napa 2 weeks ago. It was very cool and very trendy, and they had like a record player. And it's like young guys making wine, and it's cool. So that's the Vermentino. Yep. 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 What did you bring in? What is that, a tart?
Yes, it is. It's butternut squash and caramelized onion and goat cheese.
It's gorgeous. Did you?
I can't take no.
You didn't make that?
I would love to have time to make something like that.
It looks very homemade.
I did not make that one.
Well, you had homecoming today, so you're off the hook. It's gorgeous. Oh, I can't wait to try it. Yes. Okay. Time for dinner. We're gonna sit. Here, you have to do this. So we all just sat down at the dinner table, 12 of us. It might as well be Thanksgiving, and I love it so much because we never do this. We literally eat and cook standing up. Most of the time, this group is gathered, so this is very special. Plus, they just have a beautiful home and space.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Hey! Cheers!
Thank you.
Come over October. Happy birthday, Allison.
This door, what is this? That came from Trader Joe's.
We love TJ's. There's a lot of TJ's in the house today. Chef Michael, will you tell them about your mac and cheese and what's going on in there?
There's Gruyere, some crazy French cheddar, Gouda, cream cheese, hot sauce.
And how is it cooked?
In the smoker.
And it's pretty hot. This is the sauce that goes with it, which is a red wine, what else? Sour cream sauce. And then a homemade honey mustard that sort of got runny, so now it's in a different container.
That's what this is?
So yeah. It looks like gravy, but it's not.
This is like a honey mustard?
That's a real honey mustard.
You know, you wouldn't have told anybody, they wouldn't have noticed.
And if somebody would be like, this is gravy. Nope, it's honey mustard.
All right, time to eat. Ooh, I want all the sauces. I want to try them all.
Grandma's biscuits.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy. That's exciting.
Wow. Mm. Cheers.
This is good?
Okay. Oh my god, the mac and cheese.
Which one did you have?
Mac and cheese.
We made 2 pounds of that two nights ago.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that slaw has anise.
Ooh.
Fennel?
Fennel.
Mm. It's hard to discern sometimes.
Yes. Delicious. Fantastic. I need to know more about the slaw.
Mm-hmm. Jay wants to know about the slaw.
What is in here? This is unreal.
There's sort of a joke. The last time we were at Nikki Michaels and we brought vegetables, and he was like, this is the first vegetable I've had in a while. And I'm like, well, you always do vegetables. So I had to bring some acid and some lightness to the table, and I was like, I got to make a vegetable, but I don't want it overcooked veggie. So I found this thing, and I thought it looked yummy, but it's all kinds of things that I don't normally cook. Again, I don't cook, so that's not saying much.
Could have fooled me. I think it did.
What did I tell you? Is that fennel?
Yes.
Mm. Cabbage, mint, cilantro, serrano peppers.
Wow.
What else, babe?
And then the dressing is olive oil, lemon. And
yeah, olive oil.
It's so
lemon.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's perfect to have with all this.
Super.
Sip Spotlight.
All right, pumpkin Chardonnay.
I refuse.
I was really curious about this. $6.99 pumpkin spice Chardonnay.
You like this?
Because it's
crazy. Crazy.
Come over October, and we have to celebrate all the things. Oh, what?
It's like mold. It is like mold.
What is
mold?
Mold. Like mulligan. Mold.
Oh, like mold wine.
Here's your pumpkin spice Chardonnay.
Oh. There's certain things I just, you know.
What do we think, kids?
They could have charged like $59.99 because the pumpkin nuts will still buy it.
My God. Yeah.
Oh, that's delicious.
What? What?
That was the end.
What?
You're going to have to walk all the way home.
Oh, God, what is it? It smells like... It
smells like a candle.
A candle.
That's all I'm going to tell you right now.
Marshall's.
It's literally a candle from Ross.
Candle. I want to taste this. I have been aging this in my wine fridge for 3 months.
Hold your pumpkin ass.
Wait a minute. They had pumpkin something for sale in July.
Probably August, yes.
Just a little C&H. I just need a couple tablespoons.
A little C&H.
A couple tablespoons more and I'm in.
I can tell you right now what it tastes like. It's literally like drinking pumpkin wax.
Yes.
Off a candle.
I feel like I went to that, what's that, Yankee Candle Company, and I fell in a vat. Because you know how you're at Ross, and you're like, what the hell's that smell? And then you're like, oh, it's the candle.
Wait, here's the crazy thing. They sold out of this.
When I was getting that
sold out.
All right, thanks for weighing in, kids. I appreciate you all.
Man,
thank you.
I just say it out.
That's a no.
That's
a no.
I don't think this is
a no.
For more pumpkin
wine to fill my soul.
I can't wait.
Happy birthday, dear Alyssa.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Well, we're about to do the stereo.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thanks.
I mean, I've been stereotyped my whole life, but I'm not a good driver if you can't tell.
Stereograph is our wine brand. Sally has crafted 3 wines for you to try here. These are in barrel. They'll be bottled in May, I think. And we're going to go, Sally can talk about the wines, but we'll go
We'll go left to right trying these. These are barrel samples. Keep that in mind. But we're pretty proud of this. I always thought Sally should have a wine brand. So this was an opportunity for us to collaborate and do it together. And so it's kind of like my thought process behind how to position the brand, what the footprint and look of the brand is, what the story behind the brand is, with her amazing winemaking techniques. And so that made sense for Sally with her knowledge of everything. So then we went with Stereograph, and it ties to sort of what I'm doing with antique photography. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people think music instantly when they hear the word stereo. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit of a challenge, but it's okay. And even if they do think that, that's fine. But it really is about this 3D stereo image of early photography. There's so many opportunities for us to build off of that with branding. I appreciate Sally's stewardship about this whole concept of anti-corporate.
It's great to go and have Soldato. It's great to have Bride. It's great to have Sylvie. That's what we want to do.
I couldn't agree more. There's a place for everything.
This is our Napa Cab. So last year we purchased some Cabernet grapes from Volker Isley Estate, which is in Charles Valley.
It's soft. It's really nice, but there's a softness to it.
This is our red blend. This is 60-ish percent Merlot, 40% Cab. I'm probably going to sneak a little Cab Franc in there before we bottle. It was really my dream and goal all along to make an Oakville Cab. I was really excited. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I love the wine. I think it's very supple. I think it's very textural.
Like
you,
Max.
More like
those. Super supple.
So supple. What's happening in the glass here?
So this is Oakville Flat Cab from Rentria 360. Mm-hmm. We were really excited to get it. I think it came out very supple, very fruit-driven, very silky, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's very silky for a 23 especially.
Differentiator.
Even though this is 100% Cabernet from Oakville.
I think that's what's throwing me off. The one that I think, when I think of Merlot as being slightly softer, is that both cabs are more fruit-driven and softer to me. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking really young wines, but I expected the Merlot to be the one that was the fruit bomb sweeter, whatever, you know, the bachelorette girl shit.
Well, now they're not going to be a sponsor, okay? We've lost Trader Joe's, we've lost the Bachelorette Enterprise.
Because all of our wines were made to be Bachelorette
wines. So we're still working on our blends. We're still, this is why I wanted your feedback.
Well, I like them all. They're very different.
Congratulations. This is amazing. Yeah. And can't wait to see what they are.
Thank you for sharing.
Happy birthday! Come over October!
And a good time was had by all. Do you know, as I'm sitting here the day after editing and re-listening to all of this, my takeaway is laughter, right? So much laughter, so much joy. That's why we love food and wine and gathering. And this was really extra special to sit around the table. You heard, Thanksgiving. Why do we wait once a year to do that? Let's do that more often. And hopefully we've inspired you with some really cool wine choices and to dig into, you know, grandma's recipes and take some time, spend some time with those you love. Check out all the links in the show notes for everything that was mentioned today. And a big thank you to all of my friends for being good sports as I was running around the kitchen putting microphones in front of them. As always, if you'd like to be an angel and support the podcast, buy me a glass of wine. I would be ever so grateful. And the link in the notes is there to do that. If you're enjoying being a part of our SIP community and you liked this episode, please leave us a rating, a review in whichever podcast platform you're listening in. And as always, sip well.